topic, application of multidisciplinary collaborations for the advancement of public health. We have Dr. Jennifer Farr. She earned her PhD in public health from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. She is currently an assistant professor in the School of Community Health Sciences at the University of Nevada. Dr. Farr's research interests include the intersection of sport, physical activity, and health, barriers in the built environment that impede healthy behaviors, such as participation in preventative care and physical activity, the use of social marketing to promote health, and disparities in health care and health service utilization of vulnerable populations.
Good afternoon. Today I'm going to be talking to you about Southern Nevada Strong. Southern Nevada Strong is the name given to our HUD Sustainables Community Planning Grant. The application for this grant was a collaboration between University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Community Health Sciences, so that's where our public health folks reside at UNLV, and the City of Henderson. And although this grant resides in the City of Henderson, it really encompasses all of Southern Nevada or all of Clark County. So the name Southern Nevada Strong was given to this project to signify that inclusive nature of this grant and this planning process. After receiving this grant, naming it was one of the very first things that we had to do to try to ensure that we were going to get collaboration across the jurisdictions that we wanted to include in this whole planning process. Historically, public health and urban planning were intertwined, so we're talking about the 19th and the early 20th centuries. However, in the mid-20th centuries, the two disciplines started to drift apart, so we had urban planners out planning cities and public health professionals out tending to the needs of the health needs of the public, but we weren't working together. So we see that cities that were designed and developed and really grew up during that time period didn't really have an eye to the health of the people living in those cities. Las Vegas being one of those cities, as the previous presenter talked about, our city is very car-centric, so the urban planners, the city planners, weren't really having an eye towards walkability and bikeability. We just were thinking about cars during this time period. However, we see that in the late 20th centuries, we're starting to collaborate again, and this project is a great example of that collaboration between public health and city planners. And this collaboration can have significant positive implications for community design as well as the health of the people living in those communities that are designed with this collaboration. So the purpose of this presentation today, I'll be discussing the process and lesson learned from this collaborative effort between public health professionals and a multidisciplinary team, including urban planners, and the development of our sustainable community plan. So what is Southern Nevada Strong? Southern Nevada Strong is a collaborative regional planning effort that was funded by a $3.5 million grant from HUD. Our region was hit particularly hard with the recent recession and the really slow economic recovery that we've experienced. We have issues concerning education, employment, health, our housing values, transportation. This grant really is providing us with the resources to conduct in-depth research and community engagement efforts to analyze the issues that are facing our community, but also to develop collaborative solutions to those issues. It also is providing us a real opportunity to sort of take a step back and say, you know, how do we want our region to grow and evolve over the next several years and next several decades? What do we want to look like in 10 or 15 or 20 years from now as a region and as a community? So when most people think about Las Vegas, they think about the Strip and the glitz and glamour of the Strip, but actually metropolitan Las Vegas is a much larger area than the Strip of Las Vegas. Actually, about 2 million people live around the Strip in Las Vegas, in the Las Vegas metropolitan area. And the area includes the City of Las Vegas, the City of North Las Vegas, the City of Henderson, Boulder City, and unincorporated Las Vegas. So this grant is encompassing all of those different jurisdictions. Again, this is a collaborative effort, so we have city planners from all five jurisdictions who are working on this effort. So again, from Las Vegas, Henderson, North Las Vegas, Boulder City, and unincorporated Clark County. We have folks from our Regional Transportation Commission, local utility local utility companies, so Nevada Energy as well as Southern Nevada Water Authority, Southern Nevada Health District, that's our public health department in Clark County, the University of Nevada School of Community Health Science, again, our public health department, as well as the Valencia Institute. So where are we? Well, where are we should be moved a little bit deeper into year two, because we're about to conclude year two, will end February of 2014. The first year, we really spent the majority of our time doing research and collecting data, doing a really big quantitative data analysis of our community, because in order to know what we need to improve or where we need to go, we need to know where we are. So we developed an existing conditions report, which I'll talk about in a few slides into the future. Year two, we're really focused on community involvement and community outreach. We want to hear from the people who live in the area what their areas of concern are and where they would like to see improvements and where they would like to see our city grow and develop. During year two, we've identified 12 communities of concern, or more positively, we're referring to them as opportunity areas in our community, and those are geographic areas within the greater Las Vegas metropolitan area or Clark County. At the end of this year, we're going to narrow that down to about 3 or 4 different opportunity sites. And during year three, we're going to do scenario planning. So based on the issues that are identified in those communities, you know, how can we improve those areas? We'll do local demonstration projects, community presentations, and all of that is going to feed into and help us develop our regional plan. The regional plan will be finished February of 2015, and that will be our last deliverable to HUD for the grant. So who are we? Probably 2 weeks after we received this planning grant, we put together a work group. And this work group started week 2 or 3, and it's going to go all the way to the very end, the whole three-year time period. And this working group is comprised of members from all of those collaborating institutions that I talked about a few slides ago. And really, the first year, this is the group that collected all of that data, all that quantitative data, and put it together. We're taking that as well as the public input that we receive over this year, too, and that quantitative data and the public input data, the more qualitative data, is being fed into our task groups. Now, we have 6 different task groups, and I'll talk about those in just a few seconds here. But the task groups are comprised of subject matter experts, and their real job is to take that quantitative data and the qualitative data, and based on that, develop goals and strategies that will then feed into the regional plan. So their information will feed into the consortium committee, which is comprised of business and community leaders, elected officials, as well as leaders of each of the 6 task groups. And this is real, the real regional plan will be written. That regional plan will be then sent to the Southern Nevada Regional Planning Coalition Board, and they will review the regional plan and then approve it. And again, that's going to be the final document that goes to HUD at the end of year 3. So these 6 task groups, they're comprised of about 12 to 15 members, and the members are subject matter experts from the public, from nonprofit and private sectors, and people who work in public health or study public health, either at the university or at Southern Nevada Health District, are sitting at the table on each of these different task groups. And the task groups include public engagement and equity, transportation, the environment, economic development and education, healthy communities, and housing. So I talked about the existing conditions report, and this is that first thing, that first deliverable that we had to give to HUD at the end of year one. And this, again, was that quantitative data analysis. Developing the existing conditions report was a collaborative effort between city planners and public health professionals. There are about 5 of us who did 99% of the existing conditions report. 3 of us were public health professionals, and then two of them were city planners. The existing conditions report really examined the current conditions of our region with regard to health and access to health care, housing, transportation, employment, the environment, and demographics. And again, this information was given to the task groups, and they're using this to help develop their goals and strategies, which will become part of our regional plan in the end. So I'm going to go over just a few of the highlights from the existing conditions report and the conditions of Southern Nevada. This ended up being about a 150-page document, so I'm just going to briefly go through a few of the, you know, more important highlights from the existing conditions report. As far as access to health care, Clark County has a very low primary care physician to population ratio. We look at that compared to other counties in Nevada, but then also across the United States. Our primary care physicians per 1,000 population, we're about half the national benchmark for the number of physicians we should have. So we have a very low number of physicians in our area. As far as health insurance, about a quarter of our residents under the age of 65 do not have access to health insurance, while 18% of our residents under the age of 19 do not have health insurance. Access to food is an issue in our community. We identified about 16 food deserts going through this quantitative analysis. And Clark County is a very dangerous place to be a pedestrian. We're number 6 as far as the most dangerous metropolitans to be a pedestrian, which makes it sort of difficult to engage in active transport or recreation. Education is also an issue in our state. Nevada has the lowest high school graduation rate in the nation. Only 56% of our high school students graduate from high school. Housing is also an issue. Between 2006 and 2011, the median home value in our area decreased by 60.4%, and the majority of the homes in our region are still underwater. We're still recovering from that. Over half of our residents spend 45% or more of their income on combined housing and transportation, which makes it very unaffordable. Unemployment during the recent recession, Clark County had very high rates of unemployment, and we do lack economic diversity. So just looking at unemployment in Clark County, we're the top, the blue line. In July of 2010, that's where our unemployment peaked out at almost 16%. We're at 15.8%. We compare that to similar regions or similar metropolitan areas like Orlando, Denver, and then just the overall U.S. unemployment rates. We are very high compared to those different areas. As far as economic diversity, if we look at the quadrants on this graph, the far right corner being low growth, low wage, that's where the majority of our jobs in Clark County are. They're in sectors such as tourism, gaming, construction, and real estate. And we have very few jobs in the technology or knowledge-based sort of fields, and even fewer in traditional manufacturing jobs, which would be higher wage and higher growth type employment. So we have a very undiverse employment opportunities for our folks. We realize that in order to have a successful regional plan, that we're going to get buy-in from the community, we have to have public input along the process. So we've given the people who live in Clark County, our residents, a number of opportunities to participate in this planning process. We've had community workshops, neighborhood events, we've done telephone surveys, as well as online questionnaires. So they've had a number of opportunities to give their input to talk about what their concerns are and where they would like to see improvements in our region. So when you hear from our people who live in our area, residents of Clark County, and what their areas of concerns are, they really do match up quite well with those quantitative numbers that we're seeing whenever we do our analysis. They would like to see economic diversification. They want to see more jobs and better jobs. They'd like to see improvements in education on all levels. So that's including K-12, higher education, as well as workforce development. They're concerned about transportation and would like to see improvements in there as far as having transportation options other than driving their car, reducing traffic congestions, as well as focusing on pedestrian plus traffic safety. They're concerned about the environment, would like to make sure that we have a sustainable water supply. We live in the desert, after all, so water is definitely a big issue that we're always focusing on. But they'd also like us to put efforts into sustainable energy and decreasing pollution in our area. And they'd also like to see an increase in the variety of affordable and quality housing options. So where are we? Well, we're closing in the end of year 2 now. The task groups are really just finalizing the goals and strategies that will go out to inform the regional plan. So I'd like to take a moment now and just show you how having public health professionals sitting on those task groups and really being at the table and engaged in this whole planning process has really made those task groups have an eye towards the health of the community as they're writing goals and strategies. So I'm going to go through a few of those for the next few minutes here. So when you look at our environmental task group and what goals and strategies are emerging from that task group, we really see that public health is kind of flowing through all of these goals and strategies. What their goals are: to protect our regional water resources, improve regional air quality, make sure that we preserve our natural environment as well as protect our open spaces, and increase public access to parks, trails, and other recreational amenities. So definitely an eye to public health as those strategies are emerging through the environmental task group. Of course, the Healthy Communities Task Group, every single strategy has something to do with public health, it seems. But some of these strategies that are emerging are we want to improve access to health care. Again, that was a very big issue. And make sure that our residents have access to convenient, that it's convenient and availability of healthy and affordable food options, that we're designing our neighborhoods to encourage walking and bicycling, that there's transportation for low-income residents, that they have a number of transportation options, as well as that families, youth, and seniors have convenient access to facilities and services that they need to utilize. We look at the housing task group and some of those goals and strategies. We want to make sure that we're locating houses near job centers and other services so that we can reduce the amount of time and money that's being spent on transportation, as well as increased mixed income and affordable housing options throughout the region rather than having those cluster in certain parts of the region. And lastly, when we look at the transportation task group, what some of their goals and strategies are, to design or retrofit some of our communities and streets to improve safety and ease of movement for pedestrians, cyclists, and vehicles, to reduce both vehicle and pedestrian fatalities by designing streets and communities with people in mind. I think that's one of my favorite ones. They have all these transportation folks and engineers who are, you know, focused on streets mostly, but they're thinking about people in mind rather than just cars in mind. That's one of my favorite strategies. To develop safe alternatives for transportation and allow travelers a choice of ways that they can move around our communities, including mass transit, walking, cycling, and the car. We're one of the biggest metropolitans in the West to not have light rail, and that definitely means that our citizens have one less option as far as how they can get around our city because we don't have access to light rail. It's either buses, cars, and then it's very safe to cycle or walk in our community. So in conclusion, by having public health professionals at the table of these different task groups, we've really been able to create a plan that will ensure that the health of the public is considered whenever we do adopt that final regional plan for our community. We have Southern Nevada Strong, we have a website, so www.southernnevadastrong.org. We also are on Facebook and Twitter if you want any more information about what we're doing in Southern Nevada for our plan. Thank you.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they, you know, we would start out these meetings and we're using our acronyms and they're using theirs, and we just really had to learn that we need to articulate better what we're talking about instead of just using the common language acronyms that we're used to using. That was definitely the biggest challenge of bringing these folks together. Though I would say that surprisingly, our urban planners, a lot of them, they really had sort of grown up and developed this idea that they needed that health needs to be a consideration in this planning process. And so they were really, really willing to work with us and bring us to the table to help them not only write for this grant, but also to serve on the task groups, to be leaders of the task groups, and really be involved. It was a very welcoming environment for us to come and help them in this planning process. So it's been a pleasant surprise for sure. Yes.
That's a warm conference. Do you have a program to encourage employers to provide a shower for people who ride their bike to work?
Well, that's a great question, and no, we don't, but you know, it's also a very dry environment, so you surprisingly don't sweat a lot because it evaporates. When there's only 4% humidity, the sweat evaporates before you get in the door of the building. But that is a great idea, and that's not something that we've thought about, but that's definitely something that we could include during those warm months. The great thing about Las Vegas is we do have over 300 days of sunshine, so there's a lot of days to be able to actively transport to work, and we don't have the cold winters, so the winter months are delightful. October through April are great times to actively transport in our city. July and August gets a little challenging, so showers would be a good time for that, yeah.
So
Right. Actually, so this is the planning grant from HUD, and so only the people who receive the planning grant are able to then apply for an implementation grant. And so the implementation grant that we're going to apply for at the end of year three, HUD is giving the regions that are applying ahead of us anywhere from $50 to $100 million to actually implement the plans. And so I think that's why, at least right now, there's all this, hey, let's push forward with this, because at the end, and again, by including health, we may have a better opportunity to get those funds coming into our community to actually implement some of these scenarios that we've, you know, decided are the best scenarios. So that's why I think we haven't gotten a great deal of pushback. Yeah.
The comment for the feds in the room, those messages that are coming with the grant program, that health matters, are being received at the local level.
Right. Good. All right. Thank you.